From the KTOO Newsroom, I'm Pablo Arauz Peña with your state and local news update. After 5 days, there's been no let-up in the search for Geraldine Nelson. The 78-year-old Juneau woman was last seen at her home in the Lemon Creek area on Sunday. Wednesday afternoon, Geraldine's grandson, Preston Nelson, was searching the grass, brush, and standing water just off Glacier Highway as traffic whizzed by.
Some nights we stay up all night, other nights we're out till 1:30, 3 o'clock in the morning. At this point, I'm searching every nook and cranny that I could find and going through everything twice, three, four times, and trying to get as much evidence or some sort of sign that she's still around here somewhere.
Preston Nelson says he has taken off work this week to search for her. Volunteer searchers and family have been working with the Central Council of Tlingit and Haida Indian Tribes of Alaska to coordinate a search. The tribe has been providing meals, equipment like flashlights and safety vests, and a staging area. Juneau Police, Alaska State Troopers, Juneau Mountain Rescue, and a Coast Guard helicopter have concentrated their search in and around Lemon Creek's nearby woods and trails. Multiple teams with Sea Dogs or Southeast Alaska Dogs organized for ground search have started searching early in the morning and continued well into the evening. Trooper Josh Bentz says they are assuming that Nelson is still walking around.
We believe that she's mobile, which means that she could wander into an area that we just finished searching right after we searched it. So we're researching some areas, and we're searching new areas that haven't been touched yet.
Geraldine Nelson, who also goes by Jerry, is an Alaska Native elder who is approximately 5'1" and 125 pounds. She has shoulder-length hair and wears glasses. Juneau Police Department asks anyone who sees her to call them at 586-0600. Now to Gustavus, which is getting a multi-million dollar airport upgrade. But city officials and some residents are calling on the state to stop work on that project because toxic chemicals called PFAS are known to be present at the site. So far, the state hasn't stopped work, but it did hold a Zoom meeting last week to explain its plan to residents. Claire Strempel has the story for Alaska's Energy Desk.
From her coffee shop and gallery on Gustavus's main road, it's just a short walk through the forest to owner Kelly McLaughlin's place.
So this is my house, my new muddy yard.
McLaughlin grew up here. All her neighbors are relatives.
But yeah, this is sort of the back edge of the land that my grandparents bought when they moved here in the 60s.
There's a two-story house, a big chicken coop full of hens, a garden, and now an 8,000-gallon cistern that catches the rainwater her family drinks and bathes in.
Just catches off the roof.
They need the cistern because the state found toxic forever chemicals called PFAS in McLaughlin's well. They came from the state-run airport where contaminant-laden firefighting foams ran into the groundwater and spread. The state supplied bottled water to about a dozen households since 2018. PFAS are in McLaughlin's chickens, in her garden, and in her blood.
I used to take the chicken eggs to the gallery and serve, you know, fresh local eggs. But I had to stop doing that because I didn't want to, you know, poison people. I didn't eat anything from my property for a couple years and then sort of started back just because I figured this is already in my body.
McLaughlin's blood has tested at 10,000 and 7,000 parts per trillion, a number that makes PFAS experts squirm. Her young son's blood is double that. She hasn't tested her daughter, who was an infant when the contaminants were found. The experience pushed the cafe and gallery owner into another full-time job, advocacy. McLaughlin organized GPAC, Gustavus PFAS Action Coalition, to represent her family and neighbors affected by the chemicals.
At least some of us have been through this now, so if the airport project does contaminate further, there's recourse. There's people to rely on, people to ask questions. I had nobody.
There was a close call this spring when the state began work on the airport. The original plan was to move asphalt to a previously uncontaminated site near houses. Residents pushed to get the asphalt tested for PFAS, something the state isn't required to do. The state's project managers listened, they tested the asphalt, and they found contaminants. And they did change the plan. But it didn't exactly feel like a win for the community. It shook their trust in the state's planning for the project. And so GPAC asked the state to stop work at the site until the extent of PFAS contamination is fully understood. The city council, other concerned citizens, and an environmental justice group joined them. The Department of Transportation didn't stop its work, but it did schedule a Zoom meeting.
And I want you to know that Gustavus community members' health and safety are of utmost importance to us while we deliver the needed airport improvement project.
Christopher Goins is the project engineer for DOT. He pledged a full evaluation of PFAS contamination to the roughly 70 people who logged on. But it was clear in his presentation that the scope of the project is to improve the runway at the airport, not to characterize or clean up contaminants. Because the state doesn't have a plan to clean up the chemicals at the airport yet. What it has is $20 million in federal funds to upgrade a runway that the community really needs.
Due to FAA funding limitations, the airport reconstruction project cannot address ongoing PFAS site characterization, cleanup, and replacement water efforts. Those efforts are covered in a separate project funded by state funds.
Goins also pledged to safely handle more than 7,000 cubic yards of PFAS-contaminated materials. They'll be stored in already contaminated areas or on thick plastic liners. And the state plans to reuse some contaminated asphalt in the project. That didn't sit well with residents on the call. In the end, the state gave a lot of information to residents during the meeting, but nothing in the state's plan for the project changed. John Buckeyte is a city council member and a longtime resident of Gustavus. He's at the airport the day after the Zoom call, under a dripping awning as a spring storm finishes up.
We're on the edge of a 3.3 million acre world-class wilderness park, and there's an expectation that this environment is fairly pristine.
He's talking about Glacier Bay National Park. Gustavus is the park's gateway.
And then to discover that there is an industrial chemical that's polluting the groundwater really shakes people's faith in what they feel is special about this place.
He said he's grateful for the meeting and the agency's candor, but he's disappointed that this conversation is happening now, at the 11th hour. He's also concerned that the small town of Gustavus, population roughly 450, has to be the watchdog for contaminated materials. He says the city council's role has been to support those residents and GPAC.
It really took a handful of concerned citizens to pull the fire alarm and say, you're going to do what? And you're starting it when? Hold on now.
He stands at the chain link fence that separates the parking lot from the runways, where more than a dozen yellow machines sit. On aerial view maps, this place is dotted with red, yellow, and green markers that indicate levels of a contaminant whose full effects have yet to be seen. For Alaska's Energy Desk, I'm Claire Strempel in Gustavus.
In other news, Alaska Republican Governor Mike Dunleavy has said his administration won't require vaccine passports, but it is getting ready to launch an online platform that Alaskans can use to look up and display their COVID-19 vaccination records. It's called MyIR Mobile, short for My Immunization Record, and it will also work with other types of shots, not just COVID. Here's Matt Bobo, a top state vaccine official, at a news conference today.
I would really like people to think of MyIR Mobile as your old yellow vaccination card.
State health officials also say they expect to be able to use the system to alert Alaskans when they're due for a vaccine booster shot. The sample platform is already being used by tens of thousands of people in many other states. It's existed for several years to help people track other types of vaccinations. Bobo says the state health department, which was recently hit by a cyber attack, is currently working through technology security reviews, and he says he can't predict when the platform will launch. State health officials also said at today's briefing that they're seeing a sharp increase in the share of Alaska's cases linked to a more contagious and potentially more severe strain of the coronavirus first seen in Britain. The B.1.1.7 strain of the virus is roughly 50% more contagious than original strains, according to the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention. The agency also says it could be more severe based on hospitalizations and death rates. For more on this and other news stories, you can go to ktoo.org. This is KTOO News.